Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today my guest is Chris Bledsoe. First, a couple of announcements. On March 26th, we begin our docuseries adventure, but we could use your help. If you've enjoyed our content over the past 7-plus years and you want to help us step up our game and produce a docuseries unlike anything you've ever seen, you can help with a travel donation. We have links in the description, and anything is greatly appreciated. Any donation of $80 or more, you're going to get a one-on-one, one-hour Q&A session with yours truly, as well as your name in the credits. We have some sites in mind that we'll be traveling to for filming, everything hidden history, paranormal, weird, and wonderful. And if you have suggestions for locations, or if you have experiences or information, email me, forbiddenknowledgenews@gmail.com. And we hope to meet some of you along the way. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. It's the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network. That's where we feature some of your favorite podcasts. And you can always get every new episode of Forbidden Knowledge News on Rockfin, Rumble, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Check us out on Rockfin. This is where you're going to find our premium content. And also, all the premium content from every creator on Rockfin. Just go to rockfin.com/FKNplus or click that link right in the description. Today I want to welcome Chris Bledsoe. He is a UFO experiencer and strong believer in God. Now that his children are grown, his life is centered around telling his story and understanding why his experiences are increasing. He is working to understand the consciousness connection with UFOs and how it impacts his faith. Like most of us, he is driven to know the answer to the age-old question, are we alone? Chris, welcome. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm excellent, man. I have been looking forward to this. I've been following your story for a long time, like I told you before. I've had Ryan, your son, on a couple of times, and this is going to be fantastic. Your case, in my opinion, is the most incredible and compelling paranormal cases in modern history. And now you have a book that tells about your experiences, UFO of God. The most amazing part about your case to me is the diversity of phenomena you're experiencing, from unknown lights in the sky to apparitions, missing time, even face-to-face contact with non-human entities. So let's start from the beginning. For those that may not be familiar with your case, tell us a little bit about your background and the earliest experience that you had.
Okay. Well, I live in North Carolina. I'm 61 years old, married with four children. I was a I'm still a commercial rated pilot, even though I'm not flying commercially. But I was a builder. I grew up building houses and whatever, you know, apartments, motels, all kinds of stuff. And the book talks about, from my earliest ages, how I've connected dots all the way back. But the very first, well, when it all started, when it all happened, was in January the 8th of 2007, 16 years ago this past January. I had just come through a really rough time because the World Trade Center thing, when the World Trade happened, living and building homes in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fayetteville, is a VA market, right? It's big time. Well, I had 72 houses under construction when that happened. And basically, the VA market shut off. People quit buying houses. So here I am with all these houses out. And back then, interest rates were 8% on borrowed money, where it's 1 or 2 today. It was ridiculously high. And so I watched a slow motion train wreck happening. So the reason I'm saying this is this happened in 2001. And then by 2007, 2008, the whole economy crashed, right? It just crashed. And so did my building career. So I found myself having to start over again, but very sick because of all the stress from the watching the business just eat everything I ever had away, any cash reserves, selling apartments just to pay for interest and so on. I'm starting over from scratch with Crohn's disease that was debilitating. 4 children, and I'm lost. How do I get a job? How do I start over at 46 years old? So, okay, so on January the 8th, my son, Chris Jr., and 3 guys that worked for my dad, it just finished. I was managing a project out of town, and it took 4 months. So the project was over, and they wanted to go fishing that day just to celebrate being home after being gone for 4 months. So I agreed to take them fishing, and Chris Jr. was with me. My wife was not at home that week. She was with her mom, so we had free time, and it was during the week. So we decided to pick them up and take them fishing. I had the only 4-wheel drive truck, and you needed one to get down into that river bottom. So about 2:30 in the day, we ended up at the riverbank, and I set, I'm a manager, organizer. That's what I've mostly done in my life. So I felt like I'm always, when I'm with a group, I feel like I'm making sure everything's just right, organizing. So I had no desire to fish at all. I was struggling severely in my thoughts with being, well, let's say I had a 5,000-foot home with a pool, very successful for 20 years, to see it all go away. And now I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to buy school lunches for my children. This is where we were. It's important that the audience know that I'm at rock bottom. So I got these guys to fishing, got them set up, and they were sitting on the bank with the rods leaning up on little sticks they had cut and stuck in the mud. And I walked away about 3:30. I walked away and walked down in the forest, down deep in the forest. Imagine coming across the 200-yard field to the far side of the field, and there's the wood line where the road goes down in the woods down to the river, about a quarter-mile drive down. Once you get to the back of the field, you have to go through this muddy road downhill to the river bottom. Old Cape Fear River is it's real slick black mud. So when you get in there, it's a cul-de-sac. It's about an acre big grassy area. These details are important so you understand what happened, what I'm fixing to tell you. So I walk further back in the woods at the back of the cul-de-sac where you drive in and you park. I just went on down in the woods about 3:30, sitting beside an oak tree on the riverbank, just struggling with my thoughts, struggling with how I'm going to start over. I got a 9-10-year-old daughter, 3 boys. Chris was the oldest at 17. And so I'm basically crying out to heaven. I need help. What do I do? So it started getting dark in the forest. It gets dark early. And in January, it gets dark about 5:30, or at least the sun sets at that time. And so down in the forest, it's darker ahead of time. 3:30, 4 o'clock, it starts getting kind of dark in there. So I decided to come out and see what they were doing. Stayed in there 45 minutes or so. So I come back to them. It was about 10 minutes to 5. And I said, you guys want to fish anymore? Because I hadn't seen them catching any fish. It was cold in January, but they were enjoying themselves. So they wanted to fish. I said, okay, let's get some firewood together and get a fire going. So we did that very quickly. Now it's about 10 after 5. And I said, well, I'm going to walk up to the entrance, to the field, go back up out of the river bottom to the field. And I'm going to sit there and watch the darkness fall and see if I see any wildlife, deer or turkey. I wasn't caring about seeing that. I just didn't want to be around everybody because what struggles I was going through. So I left there and got up to the towards the top. You know, you got to go up a big hill to get to the field. When I got near the top, I looked across my vision on a narrow road with trees straight up on either side was very narrow. I couldn't see very wide peripherally. So I see this, what looks like the setting sun, just the top of it, just above the top of the hill. And you got a real big hill and it's just coming up. So I take a few more steps and I get a little higher up and I notice there were 2 of them. And that's when I dropped to my knees. It was 2 balls of fire that looked like the setting sun, just like it. That color of tangerine, orange, red, but it was a lot closer. They were about 50 feet across, round each one, and there were fire swirling around them and shooting off these tips, flame shooting off. So it paralyzed me with fear for a minute, but also curiosity. And I stayed there long as I felt comfortable, and I got to worrying about my son, and you know, I wanted to get back down to the fire. I was terrified. So I raised up. I had made my mind up to run. I'm going down the hill. I don't know what this is. I got to run. So I raised up, turned my body downhill to run, and I had to look back one more time. When I looked back, I raised up to see them. Because I kept hiding, keeping the hill between me and them, thinking they couldn't see me, right? But the minute I went to run, when I made that motion, a third one above me appeared, same size, same color, and it shot down beside the other two within a second. And I didn't know what happened. All I know is I come trotting up to the fire. And when I got to the fire, nearly 4 hours had passed, and the group was like, where in the world have you been? I said, what do you mean? I was just up at the hill 20 minutes ago. You won't believe what I just saw. And this, just as soon as we started this conversation, they were really fussing at me. And I noticed Junior wasn't there. I said, where's Chris Junior? And they said, well, he went back in the back of the cul-de-sac looking you 2 hours ago. He's lost. We can't find him. God. So I just kept going right on by him. I never really stopped no more than 30 seconds to speak once I discovered he wasn't there. And I went to the back of the cul-de-sac hollering, calling for him, and no answer. And the bushes are real thick going into the forest along the edge. Once you get in there, it opens up. But I started into the forest, no flashlight, pulling the weeds and the stuff back. And I heard him. He was laying on his stomach underneath the thickest stuff around the edge. And he come up from out of there right on me, kind of was frightened me to start with. And he said, "Why did you leave me, Daddy? Why did you leave me?" I said, "Well, I didn't. I was only gone 20 minutes. He said, "No, Daddy, you've been gone all night." So I'm beginning to get freaked out what these guys are saying. Mm-hmm. Because it couldn't make me believe for months that I was gone to more than 20 minutes. Wow. So he's in shock. He's telling me about these creatures he had seen while searching for me, these two balls of light, red orbs. He saw them all the way down the path. The way I went out, he was looking straight down the path from where he was, a couple hundred yards he could see. And he saw him come out of the woods and come all the way to him. And when they got within 15, 20 feet, there wasn't orbs. There were two little glowing white translucent beings that had red fiery eyes. And they paralyzed him by looking at him. He was in fear so bad he couldn't even shout or whatever. So I get him back to the fire. Now these three guys are freaked out because they're hearing him. He's upset bad. And they're hearing me, and suddenly three orbs appeared. It looked like a whole constellation of stars just came together, bright as Venus, all of them. There's eight or nine of them or more. And they came together, and they went out and did this beautiful, looked like it was choreographed. Suddenly three of them came and landed in front of our whole group, five of us, across the river about 75 yards away. So at that moment, pandemonium sits in, and we all left our fishing poles and everything beside the water, jumped in the truck. And weird thing was, I wasn't afraid anymore. I was not afraid. They were terrified, crying, yelling, "I want to go home. We're being invaded." Mm. So we left up out of there. And when we got to the top of the hill, there's the same three that was, now we left three on the riverbank behind us, and the same three that was up there when I left were at the top of the hill waiting on it. But the one that took me had morphed into what looked like a football or maybe an egg laying on its side about 5 feet off the ground and 200 yards away, hovering right over the road going out. So we were blocked. We couldn't get out of there.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And that went on another 10 minutes before we finally, it took off and we left out of there. So that's how it all began. And I could talk for hours to tell you that.
Right. Well, maybe we could go over some of the most profound series of events that led ultimately to the investigations at your home and everything that would follow.
Well, that report. When I reported it, I didn't for the first 10 months. My wife was terrified that when I came home and told about it, the church, they thought I was playing with the devil. I married a Pentecostal holiness girl and was a deacon at one time in the church. And even though I was praying for myself to be healed and to help me, they didn't like that. It was still, it was the devil, you know. So 10 months later, I finally got the nerve up to report it. And immediately it went right straight to the top of the three-letter.
Who did you initially report it to?
MUFON. I'd never heard of them until, and at that time had no money. Didn't even have TV or internet, period, or cell phone. I got rid of all of it. Couldn't afford it. But about halfway by June, we got internet, and I started researching UFO things, and I found MUFON, and I reported to them. Well, the CIA and everyone there and these agencies heard about it the day I reported it, and what got their attention was the fact that during that time in 04, 5, 6, and 7, they were being tracked off the North Carolina coast by what they called a tic tac. All these pilots you hear about, oh, I saw it. Well, I rode in it. I didn't just see it, I rode in it, and I communicate with it. And so that's what got the government's attention. Just the fact that I said it was 45 to 50 feet long. And their pilot's radar confirmed it was 46 foot. This is all coming to me from the intelligence world. So they were like, bingo. And that started the 15 years of working with the federal government, these agencies, different people within NASA, the DIA, the CIA, the DOD, FBI, every one of them. Have been here or contacted me or studied this over the last 10 years.
Now, when did you make first contact or have first communication with this phenomenon? When were you able to first interact with it?
Well, right soon, it never quit. When it came that night, you know, I was out praying, Lord help me, what do I do? And it came. I didn't expect anything, you know, you go out and pray, that's a spiritual thing. But sure enough, the heavens answered me, and these, what some call UFOs, they were balls of fire. They came and they took away my sickness. And this was the biggest thing. I completely went into remission. I had no more symptoms after 17 and a half years of battling this disease. From its beginning to where it got worse, it all disappeared. But yet nobody wanted to consider it being of anything benevolent. It had to be the devil. You know, that's what the community turned on me.
And but this it occurred, never, it you were healed after the first incident?
That night.
Mm. Now,
the day I had no more symptoms, you know, the next day I get up, I didn't, and if I missed a day's medicine, I was in trouble. But I've had no problems at all with that.
Could you talk about some of the other events that occurred that were slightly different, that you interacted with slightly different types of entities and phenomena? You said you were even taken on a craft. When were you able to start remembering some of this stuff?
Well, I didn't ever remember much because of they wiped my memory from that night. And so it was well into 2008, somewhere around June, when a Harvard trained psychiatrist came and did hypnosis on me. He was a hypnotherapist trained under John Mack. In June of 08, he did that, and he said, if you remember it all too quick, you it might be very confusing. So I made it where you remember it a little bit at a time, over time, and I started remembering. I sure did it right away, and I remember some details of what was happening during that 4 hours, but that's not the only time. When you read the book, there's stories in there about people that worked for naval intelligence that were with me when we lost time together. There's stories in there of CIA officers that had experiences with me, college professors. It's just an everyday thing. It's not it never left. It continues to come. I film it pretty much every night. I have a little Psionics camera that I've gotten close to 2,000 videos in the last couple of years, which is a lot. And I don't go out every night trying. I probably have 3,000 if I pursued it harder. Some of them level, some 5 feet away, some 25 feet, some way up in the air, some right over my head, in groups of people, 20, 25 people. Come here and experience it with me.
Are all the experiences you remember positive experiences? Do you have anything that would be considered negative or that really frightened you that you might have thought were malevolent beings, maybe didn't have your interest in mind? Or was it all this overarching loving consciousness that you interacted with?
Remember I said this earlier, which was the weirdest thing. The night that it happened in 07, January 8th, when I came back down the hill to find these guys waiting, looking for me and my son, they were terrified. I wasn't afraid anymore. And from that point forward, I have no fear whatsoever of this. And I demonstrate that. Hopefully it airs this summer. There's a History Channel show coming out, a new series this summer. And I encourage everybody to look for it. I can't tell you what it is or nothing about it other than it's a brand new series. And there were 25 people here with a lot of cameras, you know, not just there were 15 in the crew, but they will answer a lot of the questions that you just proposed on film.
Right.
It's going to be incredible.
You've had, like you were saying earlier, plenty of interactions with three-letter agencies, CIA, FBI. Were there any entities that you interacted with that would be considered unknown agencies, like what we would understand as Men in Black, entities that you could never find out where they came from or their true purpose for being there?
Not really. I pretty much vet people before I let them come here. It's like, you know, I have someone from the DIA coming in a couple of weeks, and this person is at the top of the whole thing. She's coming here to study and interact with me, but I know ahead of time usually. It was the government that came in and made sense of everything. You know, everybody in the UFO world was, oh, the government's going to kill you. They're going to kill you. They're going to send the Men in Black or all this stuff, which really poisoned my children early on when I first reported to the UFO world, the MUFON people. Immediately they came to my house and, you know, wanted to study. And then all these other people came and terrified my family. But NASA come walking in, some of their people, immediately. They were the first ones on the scene. And so we were really scared of them when they first started coming. I wouldn't open up. I wouldn't talk with them, but they kept coming and kept coming. And until they did things like this friend from NASA, he went next door to my mother's house, which we live side by side. And they thought I was just either playing with the devil or crazy one. Just couldn't believe it. Where he went over without me knowing, pulled his credentials out and said, I'm with NASA. You need to listen to your son. He's telling you the truth. So that type of government interaction, it changed the dynamics in my family. And the book tells this very well. A lot of incidences about stuff like
that. When did you come to an understanding that this was more of a spiritual phenomenon? How many experiences did you have? And you said in the beginning, the first entity you contacted was MUFON, which directly deals with extraterrestrial phenomena. And most people don't make that connection in the beginning when they're first looking into this to spirituality and the possibility of extraterrestrials being connected somehow. So when did you start looking into those possibilities?
I knew it from the beginning. It was benevolent, and it came because I was crying out. I knew because I had no more sickness, and I'd lost all fear that it wasn't a simple alien with the ray guns and a spaceship. It wasn't like that. It was totally, I'm crying out. They came, they took care of what I was, my disease, but left me in a pickle because now the world's turned on me. Even though I knew inside, thank you, whoever you were, I was so joyful, but the world was after me. And my children got picked on in school, everywhere. And it turned into a nightmare the first 5 years with the public, which caused my family to become very, we were all basically isolated and we got tighter together because my family was experiencing it. Soon as I got home, soon as after the report, I mean, the first night, it started appearing inside the house. We had these orbs would flash and out would step a shadowy being and walk down through the hallway and go right through the walls and stuff. My wife was seeing it. My children were seeing it from the very beginning. And it's never quit. It does it continually. I had orbs. We had four orbs in the house last month that either my wife or myself or my children saw. My daughter, Emily.
Now, why do you think this phenomena is so potent and powerful surrounding you and your family? Do you think that there is something going on with either your property or is it just yourselves?
It's not the property because I don't even live in the same place anymore. And I've been to Encinitas several times and had it appear right over my head with groups of people in California. When I ask it to come, I've done it in Las Vegas. I've done it in Pennsylvania. You name it. It doesn't matter where. In fact, it'll come out in this show I'm talking about just this week. I have a friend in Spain. He's from here. He goes to Spain. He's working in some very deep stuff, but he runs across a friend of his over there in Granada, Spain, and she's suffering loss of her husband. And the guy calls me. He says, Chris, can you help this person? She's suffering. And I knew what he meant. He wanted me to make the phenomenon would appear in front of her. So it's 8 o'clock there. It's 2 o'clock here, right? And he said, I know it's a lot to ask you in the middle of the day. I said, no, David, I'll take care of it. I'll do what I can do. So I'm talking with them, and I just asked the phenomenon to appear in front of them, and it started appearing, and it did it several times and changed her whole life. And she's written me about that. These people are involved in defense intelligence, if that tells you anything. So this is common. I mean, it's just if the world has no clue what is going on here.
Do you think that there is a darker aspect to this, that there is a duality involved, that maybe what you're interacting with maybe is a benevolent type of phenomenon, but there could also be a different side of this that other people interact with? I've heard other contact or abduction stories that aren't like yours. They're quite the opposite, quite terrifying, and some may even cause harm to people. There's a lot of phenomenon that goes along with the things that happen at Skinwalker Ranch that can point to that it's an overarching type of trickster entity involved. How do you know that what you are interacting with isn't trying to deceive you in any way?
Well, it's been 16 years and it hasn't eaten me yet, and it's only blessed. And so I'll say to everybody that makes these claims, show us the proof. I'm not saying it don't happen, because there's good, there's bad, there's good and evil. When I reported this to MUFON in 2007, when they came February of 08 to do their thing, I told them straight up. They said, what do you think it was? I said, angels. I was praying, and the heavens opened up. Chariots of fire is what the biblical term, came out of the sky, healed my problem, but left me in a world of a mess with the community. So it was the people that's negative. It's not the phenomenon. I have zero idea that what I'm dealing with is negative. It's positive. But I will say, if you're not grounded right and you have no faith to anything, protection towards yourself, you might want to leave it alone, because you can really call on some dark stuff, because it's proverbial good versus evil, light versus dark, yin and yang. It's both out there. But
Now, you said that you have memories of being in craft. Did you recall these on your own, or did you have some kind of regression to remember this?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, yes, the regression in 08 helped me unlock what happened the first time. And it wasn't like a craft. It was more like an orb, like a clear bubble. Every time ever remembered or seen it or had that experience, I'm inside something clear. In fact, when I was shot point blank in the back at 10 years old, had a hole big as an orange, still the scar on my left shoulder right here, as big as an orange, and it's dead in line with my heart. And I was shot from 6 foot away. The gun barrel was closer than that. And, at 10, imagine how little a frame you have and a hole that big. And I still have lead all in around my heart and around everything, and never touched anything vital. So, but I told my wife, we've been married 40 years this coming June 25th. When I first met her, she noticed the scar on my back from the very beginning when we started swimming or whatever. And she said, what in the world was it like to get shot? I said, I don't know, other than it didn't hurt. It body slammed me into the ground. It was so sudden. I was laying there bleeding to death. Next thing I know, a farmer picks me up and takes me to the hospital. And when my memory from that was being inside of something clear, up in space, looking down at Earth, and I was standing on something solid, and I could touch the wall in front of me, but I couldn't see it. It was so clear. I could see the hole in every direction. And then I woke up. I came to after surgery, and in the x-ray room, they were doing more. They had to go and dig out metal, and then put me in x-ray and go and dig out metal, and it was that process of trying to remove 350 pieces of lead inside my body. And still have a lot in there that when I go to the airport, they pat me down.
Do you remember the different types of beings that you've interacted with? Were they all type of light being humanoids, or were there some different? Could you tell us about the ones you remember?
Well, I've got them on video. I have a lot. Nobody has a clue, but I have video of an orb 6 feet from me. Because there's a lady with me standing next to me with cancer, and she called me and said, "Can I come to your house?" She had terminal lung cancer, and she said, "I'm going in Monday for a scan at Duke, and I just feel like being near you might, you know, help me." And I said, okay. So she drives 2 hours to the house, and we're out by this tree that caught fire in my yard, the burning tree. It's in the book. Incredible thing happened there. But We got video of an orb appearing about 6 feet out in front of me, and the orb approaches me directly. Although you can't see me because we're filming that way, it comes right up in my face, and it flashes, and out steps a 6.5-7 foot tall white, glowing white entity, and it walks over to my left and does something to her to where when she goes Monday for her scan, all her cancer's gone but one tiny little spot. So, yeah, I have a lot of that. I have two glowing little beings that are peeking around the tree at me. They called me out of the house and said, bring a camera and use no flash. And so I stood up, paused the TV, and the wife said, where are you going? I said, going to take a picture. And I walked out to this burning tree, and there they were, two little ones about 2.5-3 feet tall. And they look like ghosts, sort of, but I've got them clear as day. Okay.
Now, throughout all your contact experiences, what type of information have these beings given you? Have they given you any information about where we're headed as collectively as humanity, or about yourself or the future?
Well, and I don't talk a lot about this, but yeah, you know, from the very beginning, they've been communicating telepathically. People ask, you know, how do you do this? I have government witnesses in my home or standing next to me when I would tell them the phenomenon is here right now. And we walk outside and it's hovering over top of my house. Or John Alexander, Colonel John Alexander, he's in the book. He was a good friend of mine. He wrote Reality Denied, and the whole second chapter is about he and I going down to the river to show him where it all happened, and his wife and my daughter were there, and we were standing out by the car, and the stars come out, and suddenly I said, John, they're here, and I pointed up, and it appeared within 10 seconds over our head. Didn't fly over, it appeared in front of us, started flashing, and then went off to the south. So the key there is, how did I know that? And this is what the government's wanting to know. How did I know that it was there before anybody saw it? How did I know how to ask it to appear in Spain 2 days ago, and it appears in Spain over top of everybody? And I mean in a big way, flashing at them, flash, flash, flash. And that's not the first time that's happened. And we've done it on camera in remote locations, two locations at one time, three locations, and recorded it on identical cameras and stuff. So I hear them talking, and kind of telepathic. It's more in images and a knowing. But I think they're worried about the suffering of the planet. That's the biggest thing I get. I think they're going to wake us all up. It's written in the stars. There's nothing nobody's going to be able to do about it. They're going to wake the people up. And there's a new knowledge coming. What all that means, I don't know. But I'm just repeating what I'm hearing from them.
Were you able to find out any information from individuals that were in those three-letter agencies that were working with yourself, that were observing the phenomenon? Did you find out anything that was of interest or might have been classified, or anything that you could tell us that may not be regularly known to the public?
The biggest thing I learned from it was, and if you read the book, there's so much knowledge in that book that I've never... It's in there, and it tells you about me being in the most secure facilities on Earth, with people all the way to the White House interacting with me, or in one form or another. But what I really discovered was when NASA first came, and it wasn't just one, there were several, I asked them, because I was afraid of them to begin with, based on what we were told by the UFO world. Oh, they're going to kill you. Well, why are you bugging me? Why are you coming all the way from Florida, 13 hours to my house, just to to scare my family. And they were like, well, we see it. We see it. I mean, we have no problem seeing it. But it doesn't have anything to do with us. Let's just say they wanted to study me because the phenomenon's connected to me. And so that told me a whole lot about what they had or didn't have. They don't know. They don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. They have ideas. But I can tell you the government doesn't know what everybody thinks they know. They know it's conscience-based. They don't know how to tell the public on that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm telling the public what the government wants to tell but doesn't know how. That's why all these government people are in my book and they're writing the forwards and introductions and stuff.
Now, what do you think about the narrative that these beings are coming from different planets throughout our solar system on nuts and bolts craft, that they are coming here to run experiments on us, when the other possibility is the one that I subscribe to more, is that this is more of an interdimensional phenomenon, that these beings are always around us at all times, just in a different spectrum that we can't perceive. What do you think about that?
100% right. I know for sure they're always around us. I mean, listen, if you were here tonight, and I'm going to say this based on the past. Now, the phenomena can say, I'm done with you and never come back. But I don't think that's going to happen no time soon. But when History Channel was here, we had 35 show up in one evening within just a short minute. It wasn't, a few minutes. There were 35 orbs up here. And that was one night out of six. And it appeared in the forest next to me. When I held my hand out to the trees, boom, it appeared right in the forest, and we filmed it. So how do I do that? I wonder myself. But I can tell you there's a connection that we share that I think that it's all benevolent, that they've been here, that they live above us, residents here. As far as aliens, that's not my lane. I have never seen an alien.
Right.
I've seen white glowing beings that are spiritual in nature. They come in the way I ask them to come is always in a prayer. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not out there. Very well could be aliens. There very well could be monsters. There could be anything. Mm. But Chris Wimlane is not that. Chris's is a spiritual connection with spiritual beings. Telepathically, they talk to us and they live above us. They're always up there. And they're in the shape of orbs. Now, these orbs can appear any way they want. All we have to do is look back into 1800s and 1700s. There's reports of flying sailing ships like the Mayflower flying around in the sky with glowing sails. One account of an anchor snagging a chimney in London and ripping the chimney off. What is that? Why is it in 1947 Kenneth Arnold sees these little chevrons from 5 miles away just kind of flitting in the sun? And he says, well, it looked like if you skip the saucer on the water, that's kind of the way it moved. And they were like, okay, he saw flying saucers. For the next 50 years, everybody sees flying saucers. What happened to them? Where'd they go?
Right.
Right. Everybody, one person sees a triangle. Now the whole world's seeing triangles. Mm. Where did they go? Chris comes along in 2007 and said, I saw orbs. I coined the term orb. And that's all everybody sees now are orbs. So they can mimic a mile wide ship to an orb the size of the tip of your finger and do it immediately. So
do you think that there is a connection between what is occurring with what you're interacting with and the afterlife, what we consider the spirit realm?
I absolutely believe that. Or else I would be spiritual and praying about it. But yeah, I absolutely believe there's some connection there. But, you know, I don't know. I'm learning. I don't want to claim that I know anything other than show you. I can show you this connection. And I've done it in hundreds and hundreds of times in videos. And you can, I mean, you can come here, 20 of you, and we're liable to see 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 orbs. Some of them ground level, some of them 5 feet away. This happens, you know.
Now, earlier you mentioned that during this period of time we're in, that they're attempting to wake people up and attempting to get people's attention. Do you think that we're headed towards a special time and that there's a reason that more people are having these spiritual phenomena? And I noticed this myself, that more people are reporting more unexplained phenomena and interaction with non-human entities and paranormal things occurring to them, whether it's because they feel more comfortable doing it because of people like yourself and all the talk about UAPs in the mainstream, I don't know. But what do you think about that?
Well, I can say this. In 2019 on Easter, the day after Easter Monday, I had been very sick on chemotherapy for 5 and 6 and a half years with rheumatoid arthritis. And I hadn't spoke publicly in years, but I was steadily still seeing the phenomenon, still dealing with U.S. government personnel and friends, but I didn't go public, you know, on podcasts and all that. But on Easter Monday that afternoon, and Easter's always a big deal. If you read the book, you'll understand why Easter has been a big deal, because of the lady, right? She came 3 years in a row on Easter. And every year at Easter, something major happens, major. So on Monday night, Easter Monday, I was a little bit disappointed because nothing had happened on Easter.
Now, for those that aren't familiar, could you tell us about what happened for the first time on Easter with the first entity you interacted with?
Well, yeah, without giving the story away, the first 5 years, well, let me finish where I was.
Sure, sure.
Easter Monday, 2019, I walk out my little cabin. The back door, I can fish off the back porch. That's how close the water is. I walk out and an orb appears about 300 or 400 feet up in the air, flashing like crazy, comes down through the tops of the trees on the far side of the pond. And I just immediately dropped to my knees right by the water. My dog was sitting there with me, my sheepdog buddy. And I knew it saw me. I knew it was coming because the way it reacted when I walked out, it was waiting on me. It just started flash, 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 and it spiraled down to the ground. And it's sitting on the other side of this pond, jumping up and down about 10 feet high, flashing from red to white, red, yellow, orange, white. It goes through that spectrum. So then suddenly it starts towards me, and I pull my camera out to try to film it. And I'm shaking like a leaf on a tree, trying to look at the camera and trying to focus on this. Not going to move, but I'm asking it to not get too close because their radiation can harm your body. And suddenly it comes about 25 feet from me and stops. And I've got my camera phone on it, thinking I'm recording it, but I actually was. And after about 5 or 6 minutes, I looked up, noticed I didn't hit record. And this thing is going up and down, flashing inside of a translucent entity, 8 foot tall or taller. You can see them. Looks like the Predator. I have it on video. See them. They're translucent. They can walk by you and you never know it. But the orb enhances it where you can see it. So when I noticed I hadn't hit record, when I did, immediately it knew my thoughts. It knew I was going to punch the button. It went out. Boom. It just disappeared right that quick in front of me. Oh, my Lord, I wished I could have recorded that. And suddenly it flashed me. So for the next 17 minutes and 40-some seconds, I filmed it sitting there 25 feet from me, flashing me on and off. But what it did, it said, Trouble is on the way. Trouble is coming. Go out and tell everybody you know that trouble's coming, to lock their doors, store up, and not come out of their house. And we're going to appear around the world in huge numbers to wake the people up. And we're going to allow you with camera and witness to help us do that. I told that immediately. I got on the line and I called the first person, the last one that had called me about a podcast, and I get lots of calls. I did 10 interviews in 2019 with that warning. Trouble is coming. Store up, lock your doors, and we're going to allow you a witness and camera. Well, I didn't have but a cell phone then. Within shortly after that, COVID hit, right? Mm-hmm. COVID, that was the trouble. Mm-hmm. But the a night vision camera showed up, and then another one, and then $1,000 Nikon showed up. I had no cameras. They just started coming in the mail. It's crazy. And I guess people heard me say that what this being said, and they started sending me stuff. That started in 2020. And I have thousands of videos, and the orbs just went ballistic and they started appearing around the world. So I predicted that. I didn't predict it. I told what I was told. So.
Well, yeah, that's extra interesting considering what we've heard just this past week from the Pentagon about a possible mothership. And we're going to get into that towards the end of the show here. Before we do that, could you, whatever you can tell us without giving too much away, what happens during Easter and how did that start?
Well, the first 5 years, remember, I reported it in late 2007. It happened in January of 2007. October, I reported it. February, MUFON, because I wouldn't let them come to begin with, finally got to my house. And within 60 days, they just said, we're going to vindicate you. We're going to put you on TV. We want you to do a discovery show, and we'll tell the world what happened to you. Well, they lied to me. Mm. They nearly destroyed my life and my family. They made me look like a liar. They had all the evidence in the world. I have proof they did this intentionally, and they did. The guys that were there are no longer there. They were either fired or let go. But that started, that really brought Hades upon my family, from laughter and my little children going to school, coming home crying because, you know, the kids would say, your dad's crazy. Y'all are crazy. And a little 10-year-old girl hearing that in elementary school choked these people bad. But I withheld that. I took it all in as my fault. I should have never done this. So the first 5 years, the phenomenon's appearing all the time, in the house, above the house. But I was never allowed to get a photo or a video or share it. If my dad was there, it'd appear where he's looking at me, it'd appear behind him. And by the time I'd tell him to turn around, it was gone. So I struggled with, why did you come and it took care of my sickness, but now I've got pure, I have nothing but trouble with my whole family. So I walked outside on Easter, Saturday night before Easter in 2012, and I shouted up to the heavens, I'm done with you. I'm never telling another soul. I'm never coming out to look again. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Why did you come to only cause me more trouble? This is what I was saying. But that night I went to bed and I heard this deep thunderous voice wake me out of sleep. And I don't know why I was up, and I got dressed, fully dressed at 3 o'clock in the morning and walked out the back door. And next thing I know, this lady appears glowing. She's about 4 foot tall. And there's a whole lot more to the story without giving it away. Details that are very interesting. But this got she told me, she said, this is your burden. You must bear. You're not going to get out of this. I will help you from this point forward. I felt like she came because these beings were trying to tell me the whole time, you've got to tell the story. You got to tell the story. They kept telling me that over and over. You've got to tell. So I refused to tell it again. And when she came, she said, this is your burden. You got to tell this, and I'm going to help you. Mm-hmm. And if you read the book, magic started happening immediately. Within 2 weeks, magic started happening. And within 2-3 years, I was sitting in Washington, D.C. with the highest level people. Mm. Even the president was briefed on this case. And there were healings that have happened with others that are in the book. All that tells you why I don't believe in what's happened to me is any bit negative at all. Right. It was a beautiful thing. It still is. And It's joyful. I walk out and I ask, half the time I don't have to ask. Here they come. When I open the door, they come to me.
So like this is still occurring on a regular basis.
More now than ever.
Mm.
More now than ever. In fact, I didn't go out last night. It was raining, but the night before I took 15 videos, two of them ground level, orbs appearing in the woods next to me and in the sky.
Now, are we ever going to be able to see these videos?
Yeah, go to Instagram, my Instagram account. If you go to my website, ufoofgod.com, it has those links in there, and you can find me on Facebook or Instagram. But I've got probably 40 or 50 out of more than 2,000 videos on Instagram, just to taste.
Now, are there any videos that you're unable to show for security or classified reasons?
No, I do have a manager and a publicist that don't want me to share it all right now because of reasons of projects we're working on. Let's just say this. I want to say this. Last Easter, 2022. This past Easter, just a few months ago. I mean, 1 year ago, that next month. That's when I decided to do this book. And my best friend is in there. His name is David. He's in the book. Well, he comes to me on around Easter, the week of Easter last year, and says, you got to write a book. You got to leave this story to your grandchildren, your family. The world needs to hear about this. I want to help you write the book. I mean, I'll help you, whatever it takes. So he was convincing me to do this, and I was hesitant. So he presents me with this in writing, what we can do and, how it's going to work. And he was new at it, So I walk out on Easter, Friday night, and I took this to the heavens. I said, should I sign this agreement to write this book? Is it your will? And I'm talking to the lady. You said you were going to help me in 2012. And I just want to know, is this the right thing to do? And immediately an orb appears over the pond. And so I take my little night vision camera and I'm pointing it at the orb. It's right over the pond. Nothing spectacular, but it's there. And I took that as a yes, right? Well, while I'm looking at it, I can it's a monocular. So I've got one eye open and I can see from way up where the stars are something coming. And here it comes, and it's coming closer and closer, and it's getting bigger and bigger, and it's glowing bright orange, reddish orange, kind of morphing reddish orange. And as it gets closer, I notice these big wings. And we're talking something big as a Citation 5 jet or a small 737. It continues coming, and all of a sudden these big wings are flapping. Glowing orange flies right over top of me, turns glowing white, makes a 90 degree turn to the south, flapping these huge wings, and flew out of sight. So I would say I agreed to write this book immediately at that point. Excellent. So, and I shared that video, and I will in time.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're sharing all of this. Let's close on this. What do you think is happening with disclosure right now? Some interesting things. The Pentagon claims that they believe that there may be a mothership headed our way that could release some probes whenever it gets near us. We're hearing more and more about UAPs and disclosure of information that they may be dealing with something that they don't understand and something that they don't believe is human. So I'd like to get your thoughts on what could be happening right now with this mainstream disclosure.
I would say they don't know what it is. If they see a mothership, show us.
Mm.
Show us. You know what I'm saying? If not, then it's just theory. There's a lot of theory out there. But I don't think they really know how to tell the public that it is a spiritual, conscious-based connection thing, which has huge implications mm-hmm. biblically, right, to people of faith or people not of faith. A lot of people want these savior aliens, you know, some alien. Why would he come here and worry about me on the Cape Fear River and my sick, me crying out, God, help me, and some alien comes, right? That never made sense to me, ever. And I told MUFON then, I thought they were angels, and they laughed and said, that's just too much for us.
Mm.
They like alien thing better. So,
do you think at the highest levels that they do know this is a consciousness, spiritual phenomena, and they, like you said, they just don't know how to explain it to the public?
I know 100% fact that's the case.
Mm.
They don't know how to tell the public. That's why I'm doing it. And you know, others, I don't know if anyone else has this kind of data, period, anywhere, on any continent. If they do, let's see it. You see what I'm saying? And the Pentagon has pictures they're taking, but then again, it doesn't talk to them. So all they have is pictures. And they have these pilots saying, I saw this thing, and you know, I'm confirming there's this tic-tac, and it disappeared in front of me. Well, I was the guy that wrote on it, right? That's what got the attention to the government. Their pilot saw it. I was in it. And it still comes here. It's still active. And we'll see where it goes. I think it's going to be a universal knowledge that something's real, something's happening. And what it is, we'll be many years trying to figure it out, you know. Mm.
Now, there are some that believe that there could be a level of deception on the part of our government and some of these high-level agencies that they are trying to make us believe one thing is occurring when in reality either they don't have no idea or there could be something else nefarious behind the scenes. What do you think about that?
Well, honestly, I haven't – the people I know in the government – really don't know what it is. And if there are people that are trying to paint it dark, they have a reason. I think they don't want the people meddling in it, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I don't want to make claims for anything about the government. I can just tell you I work with them more than anybody on this planet has ever worked with them. This is the most investigated case by government agencies in history, and it's ongoing. It's ongoing, and it's see it doing anything but getting greater and greater. The History Channel will show a lot this year, I hope, about what's going on here.
Well, looking forward to that. Chris, thank you so much. Before you go, let the audience know where they can pick up the book and if you all your social media, anything else you got going on.
Okay. You can buy it on Amazon, but on my website, ufoofgod.com, there's a link to Amazon there. You can buy it there. But we also have testimonials from government witnesses to college professors to, you know, the academic world that studied it with me, and links to these social media places like my Instagram. If you want to see a few videos, I just posted one I took this week. It flew a couple hundred feet right over my head.
Wonderful. Yes, I'll have links to all that in the description. Chris, thank you so much. I would definitely love to have you back on in the future. I think we barely scratched the surface of some of this stuff, and I'd love to get a little deeper next time.
I'll be glad to. Just, you know how to get me. Look me right up, and I'll be glad to.
Wonderful. All right, Chris, have an excellent evening. Until next time, everyone, have a wonderful night, and we will see you again tomorrow.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.